Welcome to Generations Community Church, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers and all the father figures. There it is. Yes, our Father's Day Sunday. And I was watching. I don't think, are Evan and Ann out there on Zoom this morning either? Probably not. iPad.
We're not sure who they are, but iPad is here.
Okay, iPad's here. Oh, that could be Kevin and Diane. Everybody, yeah, people are away. I had a reason for mentioning Evan. Well, see, Evan and Ann, they live in Woodstock, and so they usually watch the London news, right? 6 o'clock news from London. And since our local news wasn't on for some reason, actually it was because of the soccer game, but I wanted to watch the news. I know I'm the one. Their meteorologist, her name is Julie. She's been there for quite a number of years, and she said it so well. She said a very happy Father's Day to all the dads and all the father figures, she called them. I'll get into that later on too. But yeah, so if you're a father figure here today, whether you're a father or not, we wish you a happy Father's Day as well. And everybody take something out of the toolbox. The only thing I want to bring back home is the toolbox. Although, make me an offer, I don't know, but anyway. All right, I thought I would start by sharing a few dad jokes with you. Well, remember last Sunday we heard from that extremely serious preacher, but he said people do like to laugh when they come to church. I don't know if you'll laugh at these at all, but here we go. Why did the bee have to take allergy medication? Because it had a lot of hives. I know. One dad said, I should have never tried to flush my wooden shoes down the toilet. Now it's clogged. We need somebody on the drums. Okay, what do you call two birds stuck together? Velcros. I only have a couple more and they're not much better. I accidentally gave my wife a glue stick instead of her lipstick. She still isn't talking to me. I got cast in a film about a bakery. Well, you know, it's not a huge part, just a small role. I know. Okay, bonus joke for all the moms, okay? When I get a headache, I take 2 aspirin and keep away from children, just like it says on the bottle. All right, so much for that, and I won't do any dad dancing. Okay, well, I was thinking about sharing a few thoughts today here on this third Sunday in June, and do you know what? This is the 5th Father's Day Sunday that I've been here at Generations. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. And I won't spend a long time on this point, but I always do like to mention it. And Jackie, with your prayer request, reminded us again. There's always a challenge when you speak on special days like this one, Mother's Day, Father's Day, even Christmas. I mean, we focus on the joy and the happiness, and those are all good things to focus on, but sometimes these times of year are difficult for a lot of people. They're difficult, and for different personal reasons, okay? So, as I say it pretty much every year, you know, it's a little hit and miss. I'm hoping for a few more hits than misses this morning. Now, since we are doing our current sermon series on the book of Psalms, then I was going to post a couple verses up here. And you know what? Today, well, I still do a little radio show. It gets recorded, and it runs for an hour in Kitchener and also in Fergus. And it was our annual father-daughter show today for Father's Day. And so my daughter, Sarah, We started doing this when she was like 10 years old, right? And I actually went to her and Jason's house, in the kitchen we recorded all the voice parts. Sarah actually read these verses, so they were heard on the radio this morning. Mark shared them with us here this morning. I want to share them, first of all, how they are rendered in the New King James Version of the Bible. This is a good reminder for Father's Day. It's Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, where it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." And as Mark shared with us as well, "Though he fall," not if, "though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Now, of course, these words can apply to women as well as men. The NIV puts verse 23 of Psalm 37 like this. It says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him." And there's debate among scholars on exactly who is delighting in whom. Am I delighting in God, or is he delighting in me? And for our purposes this morning, and if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the answer to that question is yes. I mean, it's both. It's both. We ought to find our delight in him, all right? Our good, good Father, as we sang it this morning, because he certainly delights in us. Though we have sinned, we all have, but in Jesus, and that's important, got to be in Jesus, only in Jesus, is God able to cleanse us completely, right? Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. And it's worth pointing out, okay, even in a modern translation of the Bible, the masculine gender is used in verse 24 of Psalm 37. And here it is in the NIV, "Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." So the focus in this case does seem to be directed to men. And just how any man in our day manages any success in being good depends entirely on whether he is living his life, first of all, in recognition of the fact that there is a God. There is a God, a Lord, a Master, someone he needs to bow to. Someone whose ways and in whose word he is to delight in, needs to delight in that. I've mentioned this a couple times before. This was quite a number of years ago. Okay, so Evan Snyder, he's not here today. Actually, his kids are doing something for him on Father, you know, here on Father's Day. But for a couple of years, Evan and I actually led a men's Bible study together. This was back when Evan and Ann still lived on their farm near Roseville. And we just had a few guys that got together. Study was pretty low-key, right? We did some video series. But something occurred to me back then, and I think about it often, especially around Father's Day. And why do I make a big deal about it? You know, a cheesy toolbox with some totally very expensive gifts in it. Why do I do that? Well, I got thinking about it. These were just regular guys. In fact, we had a couple of non-Christian men who came out on a regular basis. Now, part of that was because Anne always made sure to provide some baked goods. She always made treats for the boys. And this was back when I could eat gluten and sugar. Oh, yeah. Oh. And while it was pretty low-key, I mean, guys are not really good at sharing their feelings. Who doesn't know that? And certainly work environments, right? You can't go sharing your feelings. No, we don't pay you to do that. We pay you to work. And unfortunately, sometimes even churches are not safe places. No, not always safe places to share what's going really going on inside of you. But we were a support to one another. in many different ways. We did a few activities together. We provided a safe place among those few men that God brought together. I do recall one fellow who actually ended up praying to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior right there in Evan's living room. And what occurred to me was that none of these men were perfect. The leaders of the study were not perfect, and I didn't have to tell you that, but you know it. But all of them, as imperfect as they did it, they all truly wanted to be better men, better husbands, better employees, better fathers. I remember church services on Father's Day, right, where dads would show up with a little paper necktie that the kids made for them. I remember doing that one year. Sarah must have been about 5 or 6, and yep, there I am, right? Some of you remember my friend Mark Bramer. Mark Bramer, he's been out here to speak a couple of times. Now, Mark's first wife, Anne, sadly passed away from cancer at a very early age. He has since remarried another lovely, godly woman named Lori. You might have even got a chance to meet her when she was here. But Mark and Anne raised 4 daughters, 4 girls. And I remember one Sunday morning when manly Mark Bramer, I mean, this is a guy that was, he was the head of the woodworking department at Conestoga College. You know, he was just ran chainsaws and all that manly stuff. He came out to church one Sunday with his nails painted. I think they were, some were red, some were pink. I think there were some sparkles on there too. Well, you do that, right? Kids, can I paint your nails, Dad? What? Sure, right? Hey, just regular good men. Trying to be godly men, trying to be better men. Now, you know, when I refer to people as good, we know the Bible says there's nobody good if we compare ourselves to God. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. But these were good men in this world. Now, of course, this is not always the case, by the way, wanting to be a better man. Not every man is trying his best to be a good husband or father. This is a generalization, of course. But it seems to me that when a man is not trying, it's probably because he's focused mostly on himself, his needs, his wants. I knew a guy who lost a wife and 2 kids because all he wanted to do was play golf. Wanted his golf time. He was really big on, no, I provide for them, they have a good home, I work hard, I play golf. Okay, but self-centeredness, okay, pride, greed, these are relationship killers. And many a self-centered man has died very lonely. I'm assuming it's the same for women too. We tend to push people away from us. So if you don't have the best example in your life of a father or even a husband, I do hope you still have, and more than one, I hope you have a few men in your life to honor today. You see, starting with that little men's group, I began to see the need in our society to actually honor men. Because at that time, we don't always get to see the best role models. Okay, I grew up in the very first generation that does not remember a time when there wasn't a television in the house. Some of you remember, you know, listening to the radio, and you might remember the first time you actually saw, maybe it was the Queen's Jubilee. I was going to say inauguration. No, come on, somebody help me. Coronation, right? That was a huge event, right? I remember friends of mine didn't have a TV set, but they went to see the Queen's coronation. Anybody remember some of these role models? Let's take you back a few years. First of all, I got a picture here. This is a picture of Robert Young. Ah, yeah, Father Knows Best was the name of that TV show. Mm-hmm. Anybody remember Ward Cleaver. Hey, remember the Beave? Leave it to Beaver. Gee, Wally. Now, by the time the 1970s arrived, now we had you know, the Brady Bunch and some good role models, but we also had people like Archie Bunker. Remember Archie? Some of you might have watched this show with Al Bundy. Yeah. Homer Simpson? Got any Homer? Yeah. Yeah, there he is, dreaming about donuts. Not always the best role models, perhaps. I mean, men on television were fairly easy targets. They were becoming laughable. Even Tim the Toolman Taylor, and I got a picture of Tim, but even Tim the Toolman, on Home Improvement, he wanted to be a better father and husband, and thankfully he had his next door neighbor, Wilson, to keep him on the right path. Now, I'm not sure if the pendulum has swung back. I don't get a chance to watch, I mean, I watch television, but I like to watch old movies and stuff. I don't get a chance to watch too many new, so I hope men are treated a little better. You know, I mean, in shows like Seinfeld and Friends, I mean, men were just like adolescents, never grew up, right? So I understand it. Now, for too many years, okay, I got to say this. Women have been regarded as second-class citizens in many church circles, you know. Yeah, somewhat lesser than. So women need to be lifted up. I mean, they only got to vote less than 100 years ago. What is that, right? In the British Parliament, women were finally recognized even as human beings in the court of law less than 100 years ago. So thankfully, I would say the church has been doing a really good job honoring women. Especially in my generation, and that's so important. I'm very glad in more and more church circles, including ours, we're realizing the importance of celebrating and using the gifts of both genders in the church. Ministry is not based on gender, it's based on gifting. But this morning, I just wanted to make a bit more of a focus on the masculine side of the people God has created. We've mentioned that before, right there at the very beginning in Genesis, right? The Bible goes out of its way to say, I made male and female in my image, right? But as you honor the good, the godly men in your life, some have already passed on, hopefully leaving some really good memories for you. But as we give our praise, we think of the ultimate example, of course, that verse, the steps of a good man, right? They're ordered by the Lord. No amount of home improvement, no amount of soul improvement. None of this happens by accident, right? You don't just pray to receive Jesus and now I'm going to be a much better person. Oh no, that's the beginning, isn't that? And I think I try to do this every Sunday. I try to leave us all with the encouragement that we all need to keep walking. Keep in step with the Spirit that Jesus has left us with. Keep abiding in Him, as we sang. That's why, and I mentioned why I wanted to sing that song. That's the only way we're ever going to change. That's the only way we're ever going to get better. And it's a slow process. That is a given. Okay, I shared that silly joke earlier about the bottle of aspirin helping with your headache. Take two of these, keep away from children. Don't pay attention to that, Jen. Yep. But today is one of those days to remember what Jesus said. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Remember, He used a child as His example. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And I believe for any parent, and by the way, if you're not a parent, you've done, I don't know, babysitting. You've looked after younger siblings, maybe. You got nephews, nieces. You've discovered it too. Children teach us so much. On Father's Day, I stop and think, about how much I learned when I first became a father. Now, as I mentioned, Sarah joined me on the radio this morning doing that. We did like 15 years of that. And then she went and got married, you know. But anyway, so we made a bit of a joke about that too. But it's been almost 28 years since Sarah was born. She's going to turn 28 next month. Birthday's coming up. But over the years, I've come to understand a little bit more of what Jesus meant when he said the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Children and the lessons we learned from them. I'll never forget a time. I think I might have shared this story with you. Sorry, I'm sharing it again. But when Sarah was like, I think 3 or 4 years of age. Now, back in those days, I was working as part of the morning show on Chime FM, Fitz. And so I was in at work by 5 o'clock in the morning. How I ever did that, I have no idea. And so my day ended at around noon. Now, Mary at that time was working at City Hall. And at that time, Chime FM was just across the road, kitty corner to City Hall in downtown Kitchener. So she would come by around noon with Sarah in a little car seat. And so we would do a little baby exchange. Now, my job now was to, get Sarah some lunch. We'd go to Tim Hortons and divide up the sandwiches, you know. And it was very important that I tire Sarah out so she could have a nap. I needed to nap. I was so done by that time. So we used to go to a couple different places, and one place was called Kids World. I don't know if anybody ever remembers Kids World. It was in Kitchener on Victoria Street. Like a giant playroom, right? And now most parents, right, would take the kids, hey, go knock yourself out, and then they would just, you know, get a newspaper and a cup of coffee and let the kids play. But because Sarah was our only daughter, she wanted me to come along with her. So there I was, crawling up on all these big plush stairs and jumping into, you know, balls and crawling through these tunnels through the air. I was in the best shape ever at that time. But one time we were in this room, it was kind of like a cage. Good place to put, but it was a cage. And it had padding all around it. Now, Sarah and I were big fans of Toy Story, but especially Toy Story 2 with Jessie the cowgirl. And so I think Toy Story 5 is coming out this month, I think. Wow. Is it already out? All right. What are you all doing in here? No, don't be crazy. All right, so Toy Story, well, I don't know. How many, didn't they do like a dozen Rocky movies or something? But anyway, so there was this padded area where there were three large rubber balls. So the biggest ball we named Buzz Lightyear, and I would, we don't have a fire alarm in here, so what is... Oh, a smoke detector downstairs. Okay, I guess the potluck lunch is done. Oh, there we are. We'll be all ordering pizza later anyway, but no, so we're well, oh yeah. So we had the large ball, that was Buzz Lightyear, so I was Buzz, right? To infinity and beyond! And then we had the smaller ball, which was Sheriff Woody, right? Howdy, howdy, howdy. And then the smallest one was Jessie the cowgirl. Yeehaw! So we're playing. Now out of the corner of my eye, I see this little kid standing there watching us play. Now you gotta be so careful doing this sort of thing, especially in our day and age. But I said, would you like to play with us? Oh yeah. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You can be Jessie the cowgirl. You want to be Jessie? Yeah, okay. So, Sarah, you be Sheriff Woody. I'll be Buzz Lightyear to infinity. And so we just played in that kid's world. And then when we were all done, it was time to say goodbye. So we said goodbye to the little kid. Now, me being the somewhat responsible adult in the room, I knew we're never going to see this little kid again as long as we live. And we're walking out, and I'm holding Sarah's hand, she's holding my hand, and she says, "Dad, Dad." And I said, "Yeah." Gets me every time. She said, "I made a new friend today." And I thought, yeah. Yeah, you did. We made a new friend today. And I thought, where in the world did she get that from? Jesus said there's something children lose, and we lose it as we get older. But I wondered how much the world could be totally different if we just thought that way. I made a new friend today. Oh, they didn't look like me. They weren't the same color. They didn't wear the same clothes, but I made a new friend. We lose that. As we get older, we become more cynical, don't we? We have some reasons to do that. But Jesus said we must discover it again. We must become as one of these. Since becoming a father, I've learned things I would have just never known previously. You know, God enrolls us, doesn't he? Enrolls all dads, moms, grandmas, grandpas, caregivers, Sunday school teachers, public school teachers. We're all enrolled in his school. And I don't think there's any graduation from this school. Those of you who have grown-up children, maybe even grandkids by now, I don't think these lessons are supposed to end. I remember I was over with some friends at a restaurant, and the table next to us, they were having a birthday party. Their daughter had turned 18. And I overheard Dad say, "Well, you're 18 now. My job is over." I thought, oh no. Oh no, man, it's just beginning. As a parent, you become enrolled in a college of sorts. And there's lessons that God, your Heavenly Father, is going to teach you. Things about himself. Who he really is. Through his word, of course. And I always mention this especially. Get into the Gospels. Get into what Jesus said. Look at how he lived. Look at how he interacted with people. We lose that sometimes. Sometimes we just are worried about our own particular distinctives of whatever denomination we belong to. No, get into how he lived. And then begin to incorporate this in your life through the Spirit. All right. I'm just touching on this really briefly. I'm still processing this in my head. I attended an online discussion about Bill C-9. You've all heard about Bill C-9. Yes, yeah. That's the one people have said is demonizing the Bible. I'm not sure. And somebody posted on Facebook, there was a church somewhere. They are advertising, they're inviting all people to come this Sunday, okay, this Sunday, hear the sermon that Bill C-9 wouldn't like. Canada's most controversial message. I thought, no, that's a stunt. That's using the Word of God to grandstand. Like I say, I'm still processing it, but that's not the right response. Don't go out of our way to offend and hurt people and say things that could be taken as hate. Oh, say things, absolutely. There's all kinds of things I haven't never shied away from saying. But follow in his footsteps. Develop the mind of Christ. And whatever happens in this country, by the way, do you think this word is going to ever be chained? Never. Never. And why are some countries where you're not allowed to have this? Why are they growing in Christ? Leaps and bounds. Maybe this might not be a bad thing for Canada. I don't know. Now, this is a good time to say this as I dig myself back out of the hole. One of the things I've discovered is a whole new appreciation for my own dad, my own mom and dad, but especially my dad, right? I've gained a new respect and appreciation for what he went through, in particular, what he put up with in raising me. Right? I mean, my dad's generation, he was in the army, you had your hair cut short, and you know, me, I had this long hair. I showed up one day, I was driving it doesn't matter anymore. But in 1975, I drove up because I just bought a brand new Volkswagen. Well, not a brand new, an old one, new to me. I bought a Volkswagen. My dad said, no, you're taking that back, son. Never told me why. I thought of it afterwards. Oh, yeah, he went through. And here I was. Heck no, I won't go. All that stuff, right? All the stuff my father had to put up with in watching me finally still mature. But I look back and I see so many years, especially when I was a teenager. Can you relate to this? I kept thinking, my dad is so clueless. What does he know about anything? How wrong I was. My dad's been gone for over 30 years, and I sure wish I could talk to him again. You and I, as fathers, mothers, caregivers, guardians, responsible. You responsible for somebody get a start in life? You may be at the place where you are responsible for somebody getting a restart in life. Families come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? Some of the best parents and caregivers are not related by blood at all. And I learned very quickly, I have very little control over anybody's life or death, especially my daughter. As a father, I made a promise to God that I would do whatever is in my power to try and steer her in the right direction. You know, certainly help her establish her own faith in Jesus. That is so important. I mean, if all I did was encourage her to get a good education, a well-paying job, all the other things that come with life here in Canada in the 21st century, if that's all I did, as important as all that is, but if I left her without knowing how to find her way back, find her way to a living and saving relationship with her own Heavenly Father, I would have very much failed her. Now, of course, our children may decide one day to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you know that pain. God forbid, maybe you've got kids or grandkids no longer interested in following the Lord. Maybe they're not walking with Him right now. Well, remember this, because I'm about to close here soon. Haven't we all had that time in our own lives when we had to find out for ourselves that Jesus is real, that Christianity is real, and not just something my parents believed on my behalf? So sometimes we do stray. And I know I speak for everybody here at Generations that if you're in that place, we are committed to standing with you in prayer, if that's happening right now in the life of somebody you care about. We'll all stand in prayer about that and never lose hope. Yes, some wander more than others, but they can always wander back, can't they? Can't they never hold out, never lose hope? Even the prodigal son in the story Jesus told. Remember, he came to his senses, but he had to go through stuff. Squandered. It wasn't even his money, really. It was all his father's money. Threw it all down the toilet. And all the consequences were of his own making. Couldn't blame anybody but himself. And he came to his senses. So always leave the door open. As those Super 8 commercials used to say, always leave a light on. Was it Super 8? Motel 6. Slightly less than Super 8. All right, like the Motel 6 commercials used to say, right? Leave a light on. For many do decide to come back home. And though I will never be the person that I really want to be, okay, somebody has said this, and I thought, since we have Smidge in the room today, I have something in the sermon for her. If I could even just be half the person my dog thinks I am. Isn't that true? I'll be doing very well. Corey, I've seen your dog just jump into your arms. Oh, I was telling Corey just yesterday. I said, you know, I got to be careful. Like, if I go up to see Lola, I am not going to go, Lola, because you know what she's trained to do? Jump right in your arms. I wouldn't be able to, big guy like Corey, he can do it, but I would just fall right over. But if I could just be half the person my dog thinks I am. Listen, we can do as much as we can to ensure some kind of a safe, loving environment for all our kids to grow up in. We can keep medications and sharp knives out of reach. We can all at least try to promote the benefits of enjoying a serving of asparagus instead of ice cream. We can try to get them to eat vegetables. Maybe they'll like kale. Maybe not. But when it comes right down to it, there is only one who has the power of life and death. And if you haven't discovered it already, that one is a perfect father. Okay, two more verses from the Psalms and I'll be done. Psalm 68:5. You know these verses, but let's read them again. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. And then Psalm 103:13-14. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're dust. Whatever mixed emotions are tugging at you on a day like today, and I got some of them, trust me, this perfect father loves you with an everlasting love. And again, as imperfect as we all are, good earthly fathers are so much needed in Canadian society. So it's good to pay tribute to dads on this Sunday in June, corny jokes and all.